Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Moikatan is daf Chaf Zion. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learned with Zechon Ishmael, Lois Lupin Zolzman. We find ourselves on Chavav Amud Aleph. Are Yehuda is what we're up to in the Gemara. As soon as I find it, we're going to start. Good. Very good. Okay, Chavav Amud Aleph, about 8 lines up from the bottom of the Amud. Our discussion has been, and will continue to be over the course of today, the Chiyuv of Kriya. There's an obligation to tear your garments. So you're wearing clothing under a number of examples, on a number of occasions. So there's a mitzvah to do Kriya to show that we're mourning and we're in a state of sadness. If you want to see the source of it all, you could look at the very top of Chavala and Aleph. We did this yesterday over Shabbos, and you could see the Braisa. The Braisa Tanu Rabbanan. Those last words are found on the bottom of Chaf Amud. And now we turn to the very top of Chavav and Aleph. I'm just going to read the Brice again, just to get the source for all these halachas. Elu Kriyashe Metachin. So these are the kriyas that we do, the tearing that we do, but there's no ichui. You don't stitch it up. You never stitch it up. HaKriya Aviv Alimo. So kriya for mother and father. So for the loss of one's mother and father, you do kriya and you never stitch it up. Barabosh Limdo Torah. Your main rebbe has taught your Torah. Al Nasi Ve'al Abezdin. Two leaders of the Jewish community, either the Nasi, who is the leader of the Jewish community, the head of the Bezdin. Shmuos Raos. Hearing about bad news, we learned yesterday. That means about the death of what the Gemara referred to yesterday as a majority of the Jewish people, that needs more explanation of what exactly that means. Al Birchas Hashem, you hear blasphemy. Al Sefer Torah Shenir Nisraf, you see a Sefer Torah that was burnt. And Al Ari Yehuda V'al HaMikdash V'al Yishalayim, over the destruction of the city of Yehuda, the Mikdash and Yerushalayim, that's what we're about to explore right now. And finally, Korea Al Mikdash Mosif Al Yerushalayim. You do Kriya on the base of Mikdash, and you add upon the destruction of Yerushalayim, which we're also going to discuss today. And as I mentioned yesterday, that's just strange. In other words, you're going to first see the base of Mikdash, and then you're going to see the destruction of Yerushalayim. How exactly does that work? So stay tuned, we're going to discuss more of that this morning. Okay, that's the Braisa. The Braisa found on the very top of Chavav Amud Aleph. Yesterday in the Gemara we discussed yesterday over most of Chavav Amud Aleph, the tearing over mother, father, Rebbe, over the Nasi and the Av Beis Din, and Shmuel Raos, Birchas Hashem we discussed in detail, the Sefer Torah we discussed in detail, and now we're going to discuss Are Yehuda. So Are Yehuda, if you see the city of Yehuda, so you have to do Kriya. Minalan. So now the Gemara has a very simple question. What's the source of this? So the Gemara quote goes back to Sefer Yirmiyahu and quotes, so men came from the cities of Shechem, Shiloh, and Shomram. All those are up in the north. And Shmonim Ha'ish, Meguche, Zekanu, Kure, Begadim, and Mizgodidim, Umincho, Lavona, Biadam, Lavi, Beis Hashem. So what did they have in their hands? They had karbanos. They were expecting to bring karbanos to the base of Mikdash. And you got to read on. The Gemara quotes only part of the pasuk. You got to read on. And basically what happens is they see Ari Yehuda. They see the city of Yehuda. And it's destroyed. And they didn't know that. And so they do Kriya. Okay, so that's a source in Navi, in Yirmiyahu, that you have to do Kriya over the destruction of Ari Yehuda. Amar Rabbi Chelba, Amar Ulaber, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Ro Ari Yehuda bechorban, chorban an omer. So when you see the city of Yehuda in its destruction, so you say the pasuk from Yishayahu, Arei Kashachayu Midbar, that your city's turned into a desert, v'korea, and you do the kriya. Number two, Yerushalayim v'chorban. Now, if you see Yerushalayim in its destruction, you say Tzion Midbar Haisa Yerushalayim Shamema v'korea. So again, another pasuk to quote from Sefer Yishayahu, and then you do kriya again. Beis Hamikdash b'chorban amar. Now, if you see the Beis Hamikdash destroyed, so you say again another pasuk from Sefer Yishayahu. Beis Kadshenu v'sifarteinu asher hilalucha avosena ayala strefas eish. The house of Hakadosh Baruch Hu is now burnt in fire. V'chol machmadenu ayala charva. And now everything is destroyed. V'korea, and you do the mitzvah of kriya. Okay, so three different geographic areas that when upon you see the destruction, so you say a pasuk and you do kriya. Are Yehuda, the area of Yerushalayim, and the actual Beit HaMikdash. Okay, Korea HaMikdash. The minhag is to do it when you go see the kotel. That's the minhag. That's the chomo of the Harabais. It's the wall of the Harabais that you're seeing it's still in a state of destruction. That's the minhag. Yerushalayim, I don't think the minhag is to do kriya. And Ari Yehuda, meaning any of the surrounding cities, again, that's the minhag is not to Kriya. It's typically done just over seeing of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Korea HaMikdash Mosif al Yushalayim, Urim Menu. The Gemara is bothered by a Brisa, which indicates otherwise. The Brisa says, Echad Shemeh, Echad Aroah, Kemish Yigil Itzof in Korea, the Korea HaMikdash Befnei Atzma, al Yushalayim Befnei Atzma. So if you see Tzofim, once you get to Tzofim, I remember Tzofim, we discussed that back in Pesachim. Tzofim is a city that's proximate to Yerushalayim. I don't know, in terms of distance, I don't know. I think the Gemara Pesachim said it, I just don't remember. But it's significant, it was halachically significant because the Torah says that if you are in a far distance away from the Beis HaMikdash on Pesach, so then you can get postponement to off the Karban Pesach on Pesach Sheni. And if the Mishnah over there says, what exactly does that mean that you are out far away, Derech Rechoka? So the Mishnah told us Tzofim. Tzofim was, if you're past Tzofim, you're Derech Rechoka. So Tzofim is somewhere proximate to Yerushalayim. So Haro Kim Shigil at Tzofim Korea. So once you get to Tzofim, now you're within the Yerushalayim surroundings. So you are, quote unquote, in the suburbs of Yerushalayim. So at that point already, you should do Kriya. The Korea on Mikdash Bifnei Atzma, Yerushalayim Bifnei Atzma. And then on the Mikdash by itself, on Yerushalayim by itself. So the Gemara says, so what is it? So the problem is that if you look back at the Brisa all the way back on Chavav Amad Aleph, meaning we're on the Daf, sorry. If you look all the way to the top of the Amud, so you'll see that what does it say? It says on the Mikdash you do Kriya, and you add to Yerushalayim. Here it sounds like, doesn't sound like, it says you do two separate kriyas. That's the problem. So the Gemara says, "Lokasha the Bagav Mikdash Bereisha, the Bagav Yerushalayim Bereisha." So the Gemara says it's just a question of what you saw first. Did you see the Mikdash first, or did you see Yerushalayim first? Take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi illustrates how do you see one before the other? So Rashi says, "Had the Bagav Mikdash Bereisha Kigon." So you saw the Beis HaMikdash first. For example, says Rashi, "Shenichnas to Yerushalayim b'shita teva migdal." When you went into Yerushalayim, you went encased in some sort of carrier, right? You were in I'll give a modern example. You're in a car with tinted windows, very tinted windows, so you cannot see outside. So Delora Yerushalayim Achara Beis HaMikdash. So the first thing you were exposed to was the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Korea HaMikdash and mostly by Yerushalayim. So you do Kriya over the Beis HaMikdash and you add to Yerushalayim. But then Rashi explains, but let's say we flip it, where the first thing you see is Yerushalayim, which is what normally is going to happen. And you see the destruction of Yerushalayim, so you do Kriya. And then Korea al Yerushalayim b'fnei atzma v'al mikdash b'fnei atzma. And now you see the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash by itself, so that is going to require its own Kriya as well. So that's the difference between the Brisa and the first Brisa and the second Brisa. And also, now understood how would it be possible to see destruction of the Beis HaMikdash first? So you saw Rashi, and Rashi comes up with the case. But normally, obviously, you would first see the destruction of Yerushalayim, and then the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash according to the Brisa. Simple pshat in the Brisa. You have to do two separate kriyas, one for Yerushalayim and one for the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. The very bottom of Chavav Amad Aleph Tan Rabbanan. The Kulam Hashem L'Sholam L'Olam Olulan and all these kriyas that we just outlined, all the way from the top of Chavav Amud Aleph through the entire Amud, and all of them, so you could put the pieces back together again, but only in a very rudimentary fashion, right? The there are a number of terms that are used over here. I'm not familiar with all these terms. Sholulan, Molulan, Loktan. I get the sense though that all of them are just not professional stitches. Make it like ladders, again, some sort of patchwork. So you could do all that, but you can't do what's called ichui. Ichui is a term that we've seen already a number of times throughout this parak. Ichui is a professional stitching that you cannot do with any of these kriyas. All these kriyas must have a permanent mark on your garment. Amar Chista, uvi ichui Alexandria. And just in terms of a professional stitching, we're looking specifically at a stitch that was prominent in Egypt, in Alexandria, that was apparently it looked great, meaning it was such a good stitching, it was really professional, it came out, looked like the clothing was never torn before. Tana Rabbana Kore Mitocha Shlam Mitocha Amala Mitocha Leket Mitocha Salamas Lo Yatsa Mitocha Ichwi Yatsa. And now we're going to go in the opposite direction. meaning let's say I do kriya on a place that was already torn but kind of stitched up already. So again, now it's the same halacha, but just now in the reverse, meaning that if it's not a real stitching, it was kind of like just patched together, and I'm separating those two, that's not kriya. Mm-hmm. Kriya means it has to be in a singular unit, and I'm taking and dividing to two different halves. That's right. So only if the stitching that held it together was ichui, and as the Gemara is going to point out in just a moment, Rav Chisla is going to make that same statement again, ichui shel Alexandria. So only if it's really stitched together, professionally stitched together, and then I separate it, that's the mitzvah of kriya. But if it's already separate and kind of just patched together, that's not the mitzvah of kriya. Okay, and let me just read inside. So I'm Rav Chisla, uvichui Alexandria. Okay, so same point. That in terms of doing kriya and patching it up, halacha number one, which started in the previous, the bottom of the previous amud, so that you're not allowed to professionally stitch it. You can patch it together, but you can't professionally stitch it. And the converse is that if you're doing the mitzvah of kriya and you're doing it on a garment that was already torn but patched together again, that's not the mitzvah of kriya. Only if it's stitched with a professional stitching, then you have fulfilled the mitzvah of kriya. Continuing, Tana Rabbanan Rashi Lav Chol Amita La'Achosam. Which you could do is you can invert your garment and then you could do ichui. Inverting the garment is for us very difficult to understand. It's very hard to see. None of our garments are invertible. We're not talking about inside out. We're talking about flipping over the garment so that the bottom becomes the top and the top becomes the bottom. So obviously in the days of togas and tunics, and so it's much easier to, I mean, again, we're just so not used to that style. It's much easier to imagine that you're just going to take the garment and just flip it over. Now remember, the Gemara's going to make this point again today, so you don't have to remember that much. But remember that kriya has to be done at the top of the garment, by the neck, right? Not by the hem, not by the bottom. So basically what the Bryce is now saying is that what you can do, according to the Tanakhama, you'll see this will be controversial, is that you could have the garment which is torn. Let's say it was torn over mother and father, so you're not allowed to stitch it up again. But what you could do is you can invert, you could flip over the garment, so the top now becomes the bottom now becomes the top, and then according to the Tanakhama, now you're allowed to do ichui, now you're allowed to stitch it up because the tear is no longer on the top.
It's Rabbi, after 30 days. You can do that.
Correct. Right. Ostensibly. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Oster Lachosto. And Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says no. Meaning it has a shame kriya, it has a status of kriya, and at that point in time you can't stitch it up. And Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is basically saying, I don't care where it is on the garment. It's no longer on the top, it's now on the bottom of the garment, I don't care. Meaning you tore it for your mother and father, kibud av v'aim, the requirement to honor your parents requires you never to stitch it up, regardless of the fact that now it's no longer on the top, but now it's on the bottom, it doesn't matter. And this halacha is very interesting. And not only are you not allowed to stitch it up, nobody's allowed to stitch it up. You could sell the garment to somebody else. That person who bought it is not allowed to stitch it up. And therefore the mocher has to tell the lokech, seller has to tell the buyer, look, it's a great garment, great suit, just one caveat. Right, I was wearing it when I learned about the death of my mother and my father, and I did kriya and I tore it, and you know the halacha is you can't stitch it up. Well, I can't stitch it up, and you can't stitch it up, and okay, so obviously I'll reduce the price. Right, it's very strange that I'm selling it, admittedly, but there has to be a communication between seller and buyer. Seller has to tell buyer. It is not clear in the Braisa that we just read whether this statement that I just read is a continuation of the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Elazar, or is it an independent statement where everybody agrees to? Meaning, certainly Rav Shimon ben Elazar objects to the idea of flipping over the garment and then doing ichui. He certainly objects to that. Is he also the proponent of this, where if I sell it to somebody else, the buyer can't do ichui? Is he the author of that opinion, or is this opinion a unanimous opinion? You could take a look at Tosfos, Second Tosos on the Amud, where he discusses this very question. Okay, he's not sure. Okay, anyway, see the Second Tosos for that discussion. Tanu Rabbanan. Let's continue in the Gemara. Tchilas kriya tefach v'tosefes shalosh etzbaos. Divrei Rabbi Meir. So the initial kriya has to be a tefach, meaning a kriya by definition has to have a shear, has to have a certain amount. The amount is a tefach. We discussed that earlier in the perek in terms of how we got to the conclusion of a tefach. David HaMelech held onto the garment and did kriya, so it has to be the amount that you hold, which is a tefach, approximately 4 inches, and you have to do kriya on the initial one. What if you're going to add to the kriya? Now, this is very sad. It goes without saying that in the while having already torn kriya for one mace, you learn about another mace, and so now you're going to do another kriya. So you can add on to the original kriya. This is what's called tosefes, adding on to the original kriya. So there, according to Rabbi Meir, gimel etzbaos. Okay, 3/4 of a tefach. Okay.
I thought we said before we cannot.
They're going to discuss more of that today. More of that discussion is coming up right now. And Rabbi Yehuda omer tchilas kriya shlosh etzbaos v'tosefes kol shel. And Rabbi Yehuda says that the original kriya has to be 3 tefachim. So he's 1 tefach. Sorry, 1 etzba shorter than Rabbi Meir. And in terms of tosefes kol shel, meaning any additional amount that you tear will satisfy a requirement of tosefes, of just simply adding on for learning over the death of another relative. Amar ula halacha Rabbi Meir b'kriya, v'halacha Rabbi Yehuda b'tosefes. And then in terms of the halacha, the Gemara right away goes to halacha, and the Gemara says that in terms of the original kriya has to be a tefach, and in terms of a tosefes, we're going to be makel like Rabbi Yehuda, which is any amount. Tanya Namehach, and then the Gemara quotes a brisa supporting this halachic ruling. Rabbi Yossi Omer Tchilas Kriya Tefach V'Tosefes Kol Shehu. And this brisa is authored by Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says that the original Kriya is 1 tefach. Anything you add to it is a Kol Shehu. Tanu Rabbanan Amar Lo Meis Aviv Akara. Okay, again, this is just, it's devastating. I mean, the fact that this has to be articulated in a halacha means that it could happen, obviously. And it's beyond sad. So if you hear about the loss of your father. So Kara, and so you do Kriya, right? So you're doing the mitzvah of Kriya for your father, and Mace Benel. And then afterwards you learn about the death of your son. Vahosif, and then so you're going to do a Hosaf, you're going to add to the Kriya for the loss of your son. So as we just learned, the halacha, the conclusion was Kol Shehu. I mean, any amount. But in other words, you have to do Oh, stuff you have to add.
But the thing is, if the time has passed, is he still wearing that garment? Like,
there's no requirement to put the garment away.
So, no, hold on.
We're gonna.
It's sitting in his closet. He goes, he grabs it, and he does.
No. He's wearing it. He's talking about he's wearing it. We're gonna in just a moment. We're gonna make a distinction between when he's wearing it during Shiva, during Shloshim, after Shloshim. We'll talk more about that later on. But there's no requirement for him to put it away in the closet. He could wear it. Yeah, it's strange, but yeah, he could certainly wear it.
Okay. He cannot just make it longer. It's a 2 tefach. So for the father and mother.
Well, just one second. Let's go back. We said that if it's based on Mikdash and then Yerushalayim, he could do a Hosafa. And the other way, Yerushalayim and then based on Mikdash, he has to do 2 separate kriyas.
And for the parents,
so over here, we're going from the parent to the child. So we're doing the Hosafa. We'll get to that.
Oh,
okay, no, it's okay. So Avivakara Mes Benova Hosif Tachro Metache El Yorena Metache. And also the Gemara points out, now that you have not 2 separate kriyas, but you have 1 kriya. The original kriya was for a parent. The secondary Hosafa was for a child. So for the secondary Hosafa, so that you could stitch up, because like we said earlier, in other words, for the other relatives, so that you could stitch up. But you can only stitch up the Hosafa. You can't stitch up the original because the original was done for the parent. Meis bino v'kara, meis aviv v'hosif. Now here, okay, Phil, this is where you're gonna have a problem. And understandably, and stay tuned. Meis bino v'kara, so now let's say we're going to reverse the case. Well, first the person learns about the loss of his son, and he does kriya. And meis aviv v'hosif, and then he learns about the loss of a parent, and he does kriya again. But here again, when he says does kriya again, Hosafa, you're just adding on to the first kriya, al yom etacha, tachton yom etacha. So again, the halacha is that the original kriya that you could stitch up, because that original kriya was done for one son, where you could do ichui, you could stitch it up. But for the hosafa, for the addition, which was done over a parent, so you can't do ichui. Meis aviv, meis imo, meis achiv, meis achoso. So now the braisa let's just deal clinically with the halacha. He learns about the death of mother, father, mother, brother, and sister. Korea kara echa lekulan. if all this information is coming at the same time, you know how a person can handle it, but all the information comes at the same time, so there it's one kriya that he does for all of them. This idea of Hosafa is only if the secondary news is coming at a later point in time, and again later on we'll discuss what that means, later point in time. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, Omer Akulam Kera Echad, Alavi V'Imo Kera Echad. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra says no. I mean, what he objects to is this idea that one kriya could satisfy all four of the relatives that we just described. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, you can't just simply have one kriya for mother and father and the other krovim. He's objecting to the idea that mother and father could be put in the same category as all the other krovim. So what does he say? Ella, sorry, v'imo kara echad, l'fishen mosifanal kara v'imo. So you can't just simply add for the loss of one's mother and father, my taima. So I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak lefi she'ina b'tosefes. Because mother and father cannot just simply be a tosefes. And ostensibly what he means by that, he's objecting to the previous case, and he's objecting to the two cases ago. Meaning he would also object to the idea that you can't, that if you learn about the loss of one of the relatives, meaning not mother and father, and then later on you learn about the loss of mother and father, presumably he would object to that as well. And he would tell you that you can't just simply be mosif for mother and father. Mother and father need their own kra. They need their own tear on the garment. Amar Shmuel, lachi Rav Yehuda ben Becerra. And Shmuel says that's the halacha, the accepted halacha, like Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, that for mother and father, it has to be a separate kriya. Umi amar Shmuel lachi.
Goes against the principle of being
machmir. Perfect. So the Gemara says, in the world of Avelus, we're always going to be Mekel. Always. In the world of Kriya, not always. The world of Kriya has its own separate set of halachas. Kriya is obviously connected, it's conjoined with the halachas of Avelus, but it's a separate set of rules and regulations. And we're not necessarily going to follow the more lenient opinion. Ad Hechan Korea. We're now deep into the world of Hichlos Kriya. And so now, how far down do you go? Now, we just said in the Bryce earlier that regarding mother and father, I'm sorry, in general, the amount that you tear is a tefach. You start at the top of the garment and you work your way down. And for Sharkroven, you do a tefach. And the Gemara now wants to know, how far down do you go? Most probably over mother and father. So ad heichan korea ad tiburo. So you go all the way down to the navel, to the belly button. So v'yeshar me'mad libo, and some say no, only to the heart. So in other words, you start from the top, going down all the way to the navel. That's obviously a significant tear in the garment. That's the Tana Kama's opinion. The Yeshurim says no, you only go down to the heart. You tear levavchem, right? Again, it's not the simple pshat in the pasuk, but you tear up until your heart. So the pasuk in Yoel would indicate that the kriya only needs to go up to your lave. Now, let's say you have one kriya done in your garment, okay, and you hear the news about another death. So why not just be mosif? I'm not. That's what I assume. Meaning at the point of Tiburo, there's nothing. You can't go further down. So what are you going to do? So you're going to move over laterally three tefachim, and now you're going to do another kriya, the korea, and then so you do kriya. It's male melafanov. So now let's say the front of your garment now is tattered. Okay, so you've done kriya. It's devastating. Like, it's just, even to think about it is impossible. But now you've done kriya now on the front of your garment, where you shredded now the front of your garment. So what do you do? Machzir l'achorav. So you now take the front, move it to the back, take the back, move it to the front. So you reversed it. Not vertically, but just, you know, you flipped it around. So, nismali malamala. So now, let's say you've torn the garment, all the what was back now front. So that's torn. So hovchol melamata, hovchol melamata. So now you can do the inversion, where you're going to take the top and move it to the bottom. Take the bottom, move it to the top. Again, back in the days of tunics and togas, it's imaginable to do this. And so that's how you can continue doing kriya on this very same garment. Tearing from the bottom or from the sides, it's not a fulfillment of the mitzvah of kriya. Kriya has to be done from the neck going down. The only exception would be the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol can allow for a tear on the bottom, but a Kohen Gadol who is prohibited from doing a kriya on this clothing, so he cannot do a kriya on the top. Okay, and now we're going to have a discussion in terms of when you can do a hosafa. So, according to one opinion, kol shiva korea, that if you learn about the death of another relative while you're sitting shiva for the original relative, so then you have to do another kriya. However, lachar shiva mosif, and after shiva you could do a hosafa. Okay, so that is one opinion. And we'll explain the why of it in just a second. And according to the other opinion, same basic idea, that when you're within a certain time frame, so you have to do kriya again. You can't just simply do a hosafa, but afterwards then you could do a hosafa. It's just that according to the second opinion, the mark, the demarcation is not going to be 7 days, it's going to be 30 days. Okay, now, so the Gemara says, I think I understand this. The one who says that that within 7 days it is not acceptable to do another hosafa, but you have to do another kriya. So he says, I think I know the reason why. Is that's because lo nitan l'shalah. Because during Shiva, during the week of Shiva, so what you cannot do to that craw, to that tear, is you can't even patch it up. Okay. So you can't even patch it up, meaning that that tear has to be there in two separate parts for the duration of the entire week. So to do a hosafa, it's not going to help, because it's torn, and there's no ability to put it back together again. So to fulfill the mitzvah of kriya, you're going to have to do it in another location during that week of Shiva. Okay. Hachanami. So the Gemara says, okay, now remember, what do we learn regarding a woman? The halacha regarding a woman is that she does kriya, and then immediately after she does kriya, she patches it up. So a woman has to be covered, so she can patch it up immediately. So now the Gemara says, does that mean then that because she can patch it up, she can be mosif? Meaning she's not bound by this time frame of before 7 days, after 7 days, she can patch it up, therefore she can be a mosif on the original kriya. The Gemara says, "Hasam mishum kavodishu." The Gemara says, "No. Her patching it up is not a fundamental. We're not redefining the halacha of kriya. Kriya is the tear and it has to be separated for 7 days. That's a halacha of kriya. But over here, there's a mitigated consideration. That's kavodisha, right? The honor of a woman. A woman has to have her dignity and her modesty. So therefore, a woman patches it up, not because she's redefining the halacha of kriya, but there's a mitigating issue of kavodisha." Of the dignity of a woman. So therefore, nothing's going to change for her. So in other words, right, so she can't do a hosafa within 7 days because she patched it up. No. And now we're also going to understand the other opinion. The other opinion is same basic idea, except 30 days being the mark. 30 days, if you learn about the death of another relative within 30 days, you can't do a hosafa, you got to do a new kriya. Tear another area on the garment. After 30 days, you could do a hosafa. Why? Because ichui. Because before 30 days, you can't stitch it up. After 30 days, you can stitch it up. A professional stitching. So the Gemara says, Ela da'avi v'lima d'lintan l'achoso la'olam. The Gemara says, okay, but what about mother and father? Which we learned earlier in the perek. For mother and father, you can never do ichui. So does that mean that if the original death was over mother and father, well, you can never do ichui? Does that mean that you can never be mosif? And do you remember that earlier this morning we said that you can be mosif on the tear of mother and father? So hachanami also mishum kavod aviv imahu. Again, the same basic idea. You're not allowed to stitch up the tear over one's mother and father. But that has nothing to do with the halachas of kriya. That has to do with the halacha of kibud av v'aim. It's a function of honoring your parents. Honoring your parents, that's why you don't stitch it up. Not because we're learning hilchos kriya, we're learning hilchos kibud av v'aim. So again, it's not a new definition in kriya, it's just a mitigating issue of you have to honor your parents. But after 30 days, fundamentally, you could stitch it up. You won't with your mother and father, but fundamentally you could. So therefore, again, nothing changes, and that means that if you learn about the death after 30 days, even if the original kriya was done for mother and father, you can do a hosafa, you can add to the original kriya.
A woman has to patch it up, though, right? Even if it's mother and father.
Correct, meaning right, kavadisha, right? But that doesn't mean then that she's not changing the halacha, it's just that there's a mitigating concern.
What kind of patching up? Professionally or
No, the for the first 7 days, just an unprofessional job. However that works.
Temporary, not.
Yeah.
Didn't we say the halacha command the seder before that became an exempt for you?
Right. So correct. So in other words, what hosef are you going to be doing anyway? All right. Yeah. We'll discuss it after. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Hayotze bebege karulif ne'ameis harize gozol es ameisim ve'esachayim. Okay, so the really, really morbid humor, but let's say you go to the funeral and you're going through your closet, you already have a torn garment, so okay, you take it out and you go to the funeral in a torn garment, giving everyone the impression that you did kriya already. So the braisa, now already, like, it's funny, we don't need a gemara for this, meaning we understand that that's wrong. But the braisa spells it out and the braisa speaks it out, how wrong it is that what you just did. So ayotze bebega karulif ne'ameis, harizegozol sameisim ve'esachayim. So you're stealing from two people. You're stealing from the dead, and you're also stealing from everyone around you, right? The people who are alive. So let's speak for just a moment about the double theft over here. So the double theft. So stealing from the dead, meaning. Not literally you're stealing from the dead, right? It's very difficult to do, steal from somebody who's dead. You could steal from his heirs, you could steal from the estate, but you know, steal from the dead, that's a little difficult to hear. What it means is that you have an obligation to do kriya. That's an honor for the dead person. And you are not honoring, you're dishonoring by having worn a garment that's already torn. So the dishonor is what the theft is over here. So it's not literally theft. What about stealing from the people who are around you, the live people? Yeah, that does fall a little bit more under the category of Geneva in the more literal sense, because it's what's called Geneva's Das. Geneva's Das. Anytime you give a false, a misrepresentation of who you are, of what you are, right, you pad your resume, you know, anytime you give an impression of, this is who I am, and that's not who you are, so that's what Geneva's Das, right? Lying, right? Cheating on an exam. So all those are good examples of Geneva's Das. It's a misrepresentation of who you are. So here, right? You're giving the illusion to everybody that you did kriya, and you didn't. That's Geneva. That's a form of theft as well.
Correct.
Shimon Gamliel, Omer Chaver, Shilani Chalukech Ve'elach Ve'Kaver. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says as follows. You go to your friend and you say, look, I'd like to borrow your garment from you, and and I'm going to go visit my father. Now, I said akaber, okay, a correction, an important correction, right? Avaker, right? I'm bikur. I'm going to go visit my father. He's he's not doing well. He's really sick. So halach matzu shemeis, korea ume'achol. So it's not your garment, but you did tell the person that you're going to go visit your father, and he's really not doing well, so therefore you basically warned him. Meaning, as a borrower, you basically told him, this is what may happen, I may end up doing kriya with it. Now, by him giving it to you, it's a tacit agreement that, okay, if you need to do kriya, you'll do kriya.
If it's not his own, how could he do kriya?
Right, so, hold that thought for just a moment. Let's finish the braisa, and then, I'm not going to totally satisfy your question, but certainly partially. So uma achal. So you do kriya and you do ichu and you stitch it up. Now again, we said earlier that for mother and father you're never allowed to stitch it up. We did say that. Okay, but in this circumstance it's not your garment. You were given tacit permission to do kriya, but it's not your garment, so you do ichu. So now you return it to the person who lent it to you, and obviously the garment went down in value. Right, every ding on the car goes down in value. So every tear on the garment, even if you stitch it up, right, even if you send it to the body shop, but still, it's you devalue the garment. So okay, so you make that restitution to the owner of the garment. The im lo hodiu, But let's say like this. Now let's go back to the beginning and let's start again. But in this case over here, there was no communication between borrower and lender. Lender just lent the garment to the borrower. The borrower had gave no indication of what he's going to be doing with this new garment that he borrowed, that he was going to go visit his sick father. And now, harezer lo yigabo. Now, in the event that his father died and he's wearing a borrowed garment, and the lender does not know, it was not notified that this is why he borrowed it, so lo yigabo, then he's not allowed to touch the garment. Okay, so in the event, so basically two halachas over here. In the event that there was a tacit agreement that go ahead, if you need to do kriya, he'll do it. So he'll do kriya. He could do ichui, and he'll reimburse the difference in terms of what the value was, and now what the value is of this garment. And halacha number two, there was no communication between borrower, lender and borrower. So then the borrower does not do kriya, and then if and when he puts on his own garment, so then he'll do.
When he makes it there, isn't there like a shinu? Doesn't he acquire? Doesn't have to replace the whole thing?
Right. So they write the discussion in Baba Kama shinu achozur lebriyaso. What if I make a change, but the change is reversible? So I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud right now. So is this a shinu achozur lebriyaso that he did a professional stitch? I'm not sure. Just okay. Tanu rabbanan cholish emes lo mes. Ain modiyin or so shemeisha mititarif da'ato alav. Certain sensitivities. Again, this is pretty intuitive, but the Gemara spells it out. Somebody's really sick, and right, Ben, you just told me a story about the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So right, somebody you know is really sick, and in other words, he's in poor physical health and he's mentally also frail. So and he lost a relative. So the Braisa says, don't tell him. Chol shemeis lameis, ein modin or so, shemeis shemeti tarif da'ato. So don't tell him about his loss. So he won't be able to handle it. So the ein makar b'fanav, and not only not verbally tell him, but don't do anything that would give any kind of indication. Don't do kriya in front of him. Umishat kenas anashim, the women that are around, tell them to be quiet. So umipanav, umakrin lakatim nimnei agmas nefesh. However, here's what you can do. Let's say that there's a child who lost a relative, and there's no, like we discussed earlier, there's no mitzvah on the child to observe avelus and to do the mitzvah of kriya. He's not a bar chiyuva, and generally, yeah, there's a mitzvah of chinuch, but not here. In other words, we don't do chinuch by avelus. So in of itself, he's not observing shiva. He doesn't have a mitzvah of good do kriya, but we do tear his garment. Why? Mimnei agmas nefesh. Remember, we discussed this earlier in the Masechta. Agmas nefesh, the idea is that it's going to cause sadness to others. In other words, others will be sad for him. He'll invoke more compassion, more rachamim, and people will just financially and emotionally just treat him better as a result of that. And Rachmanis, your in-law is nifter, and your spouse is now sitting shiva, so out of respect for your spouse, you should be doing kriya as well. Right, avelus we discussed earlier, subject to a debate in terms of what degree of avelus one should observe. We're not talking about avelus right now, we're talking about the mitzvah of kriya. You should be doing kriya. Amar Rav Papa, Tanan b'Evor Rabasi, Rav Papa quotes Evor Rabasi, the Masechta dealing with issues of avelus. Avalo yenech tinak b'soch, cheko bin meshe mevil l'dei tzchok. Someone who is sitting shiva, an avel, shouldn't hold a baby because it'll lead to tzchok, it'll lead to levity and joy, and that's not the mood that one wants to set during avelos. But nimsum is gan al abrios, and it's not complimentary to other people, meaning it's not respectful. So minig is and should be as the Gemara over here mentions, you shouldn't bring small children into a base avel. It's not fitting for the mood. Ein mavrin amita zekufos. Okay, we now turn gears. We are bottom of chavav on the base at the two dots. Five lines from the bottom, and now we're discussing Mita Zakufa. We're going to have a long discussion in the Gemara coming up right now about overturning beds, turning them back up again, and for us, it's going to be a lot of foreign discussion. This is something that's not done bizmanenu. We don't turn the beds over nowadays. Why not? Okay, that's a discussion in of itself. But right now, let's just deal with the Gemara. Let's learn the Gemara together in terms of the halachas of overturning the beds. So, ein mavrin amita zekufos. Now, in the Mishnah, what do we learn? That if you're coming into the house, you're not the avo. You're coming into the house to give food for the avo. that first meal after he comes home from the cemetery, from the funeral, so that that first meal is what's called Sudas Havra. Sudas Havra, Beis Reish Hei, is the meal that basically sustains him, meaning he's at the he's at one of the low points in his life, and other people coming in and giving him food and feeding him, right? It'll help him physically and emotionally feel a little bit better. So this is Sudas Havra. So the people coming in, so they shouldn't be sitting on overturned beds. The Mishnah said. The Mishnah said they should be, the beds that they sit on should be upright. So Tan Rabbanan Halacha Beis Av LeMei Libo Gasbo Yavru Al Mitos Kufuyos V'Im Lav Yavru Al Mitos Kufos. And then the Brisa over here makes a distinction. It depends on how close you are with the Avel. If you're really close with that person, so then you can get on the same level with that person. Okay, you can literally in this case get down with him, meaning be on the same level on a Mitos Zekufa. If you're not that close, you're coming in out of respect for the Avel, but you're not that close, so then you should be sitting on a, not an overturned bed. Don't make it like you're on the same level with that person. So, Rav Yisrei ben Milsa, Lagabe Abba Bar Marta. Kamar tells a story where Rav was an Avel, and in comes Abba Bar Marta, Duhu Abba Ben Minyume, parenthetically he's also Abba Bar Minyume, a.k.a. Rav Zakif Abba Bar Marta, Kafe. So, another way, Rav is the Avel, so he's obviously sitting on an overturned bed. But now, he turns the bed upright for Abba Bar Marta, who is a student of his, and he turns the bed upright, meaning he was expecting Abba Bar Marta to sit on an upright bed. So, Abba Bar Marta Kafe, and Abba Bar Marta, who didn't really know how to take a hint, so he took the bed, which was upright, and he turned it over, because now he's going to sit on the same level with Rava. Because he thought that him and Rava were tight. So, Amar Kama Leis Be Daita Lahait Surba Me Rabbanan. And Rava gives a sharp remark, and Rava says, this guy doesn't know how to properly think. Meaning he doesn't have the right mindset. And again, he saw me turn the bed upright, so that clearly means that I don't think that we're that tight, and he shouldn't be sitting on my level. So and he turns it over, he's not getting it. He didn't get the halachic and social cues of we're not that close.
Is it okay for Rava to do the work though?
Huh? I mean, turning a bed over.
Okay. Doesn't do that.
I mean, shouldn't, but it was instructional over here. He was trying to explain to him that you sit up, not in the low bed. Tanu Rabbanan, we are on the bottom of Chavav and Beis. We're about to turn the page. Not turn, but you know what I mean. Another halach, I don't know how it slipped in over here, but but we already discussed that when you're an Avel, you're not allowed to do malach. 7 days, you're not allowed to do work. For Davar HaAved, we mentioned earlier, so you can have others do it for you, right? A big job where you're going to lose significant money, so you can have others do it for you, but you cannot do malacha, you can't do work. Here the Brisa says that if possible, you should minimize the amount of work that you do, and if not, you gagal imahem, then you roll with them. What's going on over here? What are we talking about? Didn't we already establish that you're not allowed to do work during Avelos? So if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi writes, Tab Rashi and Chavzayin Amar Aleph, So on your own you can't do any work during your Avelos, but if you can basically remain a quote-unquote a silent partner with another group and allow your money to work in that format. Not a lot of explanation in terms of Rashi and again, what's the context over here? So take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos provides for us a little more context to what's going on over here. Top Tosfos on the Amud and Chazayin Amud Alperish Bekushus Bischoroso. So we're basically talking about being an investor, right? You're basically your capital. V'nira debedavar ha'avi kamar. Now Tosfos says, just in terms of a little more context, I think we're talking about davar ha'avi, meaning we're talking about where if you don't keep your monies invested in this group, so you're looking at a financial loss. V'chein perish la'el. Gabi al-kol ha'mesim kolom rasu ma'amad ba'asko rasein ha'amad. V'gam ha'rav perish la'el b'davar avid el-seh b'tzinim b'soch b'esto. So first of all, Tosfos says we're talking about davar avid. We're talking about if you don't continue with the venture, it's going to pose for you a real financial loss. And then Tosfos goes and gives a little more context. V'nir l'perisho. That we're talking about the loss of one's mother and father, which is a more intense form of avelos. And furthermore, says Tosfos, we're talking about where he went on a business trip. Okay, so but basically another mitigating factor, says Tosfos, in this discussion, in this very short discussion in the Gemara, is that maybe you're on a business trip. You're on a business trip, so that means now that you really put in expenditure, and it's not just a loss of capital, but a loss of all the of all the cost of doing business, the travel expenses, right? All that you stand to lose as well. In other words, so it's basically not just davar ha'aveh. It's not that you're just losing the capital, but all the expenses that you put in as well. So therefore, it's another mitigating issue in terms of the ability to do some form of work over your avelus, over your shiva. Tanur Rabbanan, let's continue in the Gemara. May emes lekofenus amitos mishetz mi pesach beso divrei Rabbi Eliezer. When do you do kipui mita? You overturn the bed. So according to the first opinion of the Braisa, the moment you leave your house to go to the cemetery, which is an interesting shear, because generally speaking, when does avelus begin? Right after the point of burial, and when you come back. And so for this halacha of overturning the beds, when you leave for the cemetery, what an interesting shear. So divrei Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua Amar Mishiyas Magolo. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, Stimas Magolo, which is what we're more used to hearing. Meaning that you close the aron, you close the coffin, you bury the mace, then there's a halacha of kofin es amita. Maestr Shemes Rabbi Gamla Azakin Kevish Yasim Pesach Beis, Amar Lam Rabbi Elazar, Kafu Mitosechem. So Rabbi Elazar tells everyone, on the way to the funeral of Rabbi Gamliel, we're leaving for the cemetery, we're leaving for the funeral. Everyone has to overturn the beds now. So, and then at the funeral, so Rabbi Yeshua makes an announcement, right? This is not the first time Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer, difference of opinion. Okay, we've seen this before. So Rabbi Yeshua tells everyone, turn your beds over. What do you mean? We did it already. Right? Rabbi Eliezer told us to do it already. We did it already. Okay. Tanur Rabbanan Meim Asay Zokfin Esamitos Be'erev Shabbos Min HaMincha Lamala. We know that on Shabbos, you cannot observe public mourning on Shabbos. So we're talking about the Shabbos during your Avelos, during the Shiva. So on Shabbos, you have to turn your bed upright. At what point exactly do you do it? Now again, we made this point before. I think it's an interesting point. Meaning turning over your bed is public mourning. Right, your bed, or where you sleep. One can make an argument. It's in your bedroom. It's private, and it's and the Gemara assumes it's not. It's not private. Right, correct. Beds back then had more utility to them. Right, they were used as seats. They were used as tables. Okay. Anyway, we're making this observation again. The bed is not private. The bed is public. So the Gemara says. So the on Erev Shabbos now in Mincha Lamala. Right, as you now, I assume we're talking about Mincha Katana, but okay, that's an Arvi Psachim. I'm learning Arvi Psachim now, so that's all I think about. Whichever Mincha we're talking about, but the Mincha Katana. So in other words, by about 3:30 already, the bed should be turned upright in preparation for Shabbos. I'm Rav Baruch Nafapi Kain Eni Yoshev Ala Hashetechshach. Good. Don't sit on it until after it gets dark. Dark meaning yes, you have a right to prepare the bed for Shabbos. But that doesn't mean you can sit on it. You're still novel until Shabbos. Ulamotzei Shabbos afa pishein lo leishev ela yomachar chozer v'kofa. Now on Motzei Shabbos you have to turn the bed back upside down. Now maybe the argument is the Braisa says, look, I'm getting up tomorrow morning. Like, do I really have to turn it back up upside down till tomorrow morning? The Braisa says that's correct. Tanur Rabbanan, let's just do one more. I know we're out of time. Tanur Rabbanan, hakofa mitasu lo mitasu bavaru kofa ela kol mito sheish lo besoch beiso. You have to overturn every bed in the house. And even if the 10 beds are in 10 different locations, you have to turn all the beds over. Everyone has to do kfiya, all the brothers, all the surviving brothers have to do kfiya. However, if it's a bed that we don't normally sit on, but it's like a furniture bed, where I put it's like a dresser, like some sort of armoire. So then you don't have to turn that over. Dargash ain't tzarch l'kfo, so ala zokfo. And regarding the famous dargash, now I say famous, Okay, maybe you never heard of it before, but okay, you'll see. We'll make it famous. So the famous Dargish, so then you don't have to turn that over. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omer Dargish Matyas Karvitov, Lu Nofa Me'elav. So regarding this Dargish bed, so you just simply untie it, let it fall. I'll explain that better tomorrow morning. And it falls by itself, and that's all you need to do. Okay. So the beds that we all sit on, that needs to be overturned. The beds that we don't sit on, that don't need to be overturned. And now, in terms of the Dargish, so the Gemara says that the halacha is the Dargish does not need to be overturned. Starting tomorrow morning, we're gonna ask a very simple question. What's the Dargish? The answer is, come back tomorrow. The answer is going to be very interesting in terms of what exactly this Dargish is and what its purpose serves as. We'll talk more about that tomorrow, and why then do you not have to turn it over?